welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show. You've made it to the right place. If you want to get personal about the news and the culture, shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find this show. We appreciate all y'all. And as always, to take you on the journey, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, also into spreading special stuff, and someone who loves to be on the radio every Sunday afternoon.
What special stuff are you spreading?
Hey, you know, we get to rediscover how special we are in the world.
All right, that's Sunday afternoon. I got to keep my mind out those
I
places.
Almost said special sauce.
That would have been even worse.
You know, sometimes you got to get those ingredients in there. You know how your people's like maybe a grandmom or your aunt be like, yo, what they put in that? Her special touch, her special sauce.
I don't want to think about my grandma or my auntie in conjunction with your special sauce at any time, okay? But thank you.
We all got some special something.
We do.
And the person you heard questioning my special sauce was that of Asha Davis, award-winning advertising executive, inquisitive special sauce asker, and a paid comic.
We get into more of that later.
Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit later. And she's also a proud Torontonian.
I'm Canadian, all right?
Shout out to our brothers and sisters to the north.
I'm taking applications for those who would like to get married for green card purposes.
Fellas, get your special stuff together to make your case. See? It's almost like the word John. We use it for almost anything in Philly. And special stuff can be for almost anything.
Nice.
Got a big presentation coming up. Nice. Make sure you put some special oomph into it.
Speaking of oomph.
Yeah. So if folks want to have a special call today, you can join the conversation at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. The phone lines will be open for the next 2 hours as we go on this ride. Also, you can comment online at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. GregoryNeesmith.
M-E-T-H-O-D, man.
Yes, indeed. We might even get into some freestyling at some point this week because I got the instrumentals lined up.
Last week was kind of hot with the freestyle, so for real, for real.
Yes, indeed. You had me even so excited that I even jumped into the freestyle game, which has never, ever happened for me.
On live radio.
At home. Like in the shower.
In the shower.
Like that, you know? I think I'm in a cypher on BET or something like that, but a Rap City. But,
right. Oh, remember Rap City with Joe? Anyway.
Tigger?
Remember Joe? Well, remember Rap City with Tigger, but then remember the one before it with like Joe Torre?
Look at you digging in the crates.
I'm older than I look.
I still.
I remember Big Tig's basement. That was real fun.
But you're also a hip hop head.
Kind of.
And a lot of the underdogs who check out this show are also fans of hip hop. So we will definitely bring some hip hop.
And speaking of fans of this show, we're in Harlem and Cam is in my top five. Holla.
You know, everything. We were off to such a good start. I was feeling the vibe and the energy. And a lot of special stuff. And then all of a sudden, somehow, Tigers, Lions, and Bears, Cameron gets thrown into this.
Speaking of Lions.
we're going to get into some Lions today, some Detroit Lions.
We're going to talk a little bit about some Lions today. Yes. We keep those Lions lying, the Lions lying, the jungles bungled, keep your tungles tungled. That's how Cam would say it.
I can't even respond. I wasn't ready to have a Cameron debate, but my top five or top 10, I can tell you this, spoiler alert, Cam is not in it.
Well, you're missing out.
All right. Shout out to any other dogs. If you're a Cam fan, post something on the Facebook Live or call in and help Asha know that she may not be alone. There's at least one other person who thinks Cam is in the top five.
Dipset. Okay.
Yes.
Let's get into the show.
Today's show.
Yeah.
Show me the money.
Like Jerry Maguire?
Yeah. Show me the money. And I love black people. That's part of the Jerry Maguire, too.
Oh, I love black people, too.
And Jerry Maguire had to say he loved black people, too, or else he wasn't going to get that deal.
Right.
So, yes, we're going to talk about, it seems money comes up in a lot of the news of this week in some way shape, or form. Mm-hmm. With that, though, wanted to start off with some of my favorite money sayings.
All right.
And maybe you can throw in a Cam money saying at some point, too.
I got a lot.
I said that sarcastic. I didn't. I actually am like, she can't really have a Cameron money saying, but.
I have a lot of Cameron things.
All right. Here's one of them. Money talks.
Yeah.
BS walks.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right? You heard that one before.
Yeah.
I think that one is pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate.
Ooh. See, that one doesn't even have money in it, but it's so clutch, especially in corporate America.
Yeah.
You only get what you negotiate. No one knows what you deserve because the only one who knows what you do is you. And if you're a good negotiator, there's people that are not as good as you that are better at negotiating that guarantee get more money.
Yep. And a tip that almost always works, never accept the first offer.
There you go.
Negotiate. See what you can get. All right. Follow your passion and the money will come.
Mm-hmm.
Pollyanna or that's real?
That's absolutely real.
You following your passion?
I am living my passion. Marketing was a passion of mine and still continues to be, and that's my career path. And obviously, comedy is a passion of mine, and I am, you know, working on monetizing that.
And we'll talk a little later in the show that you are following your passion, and something big happened this week, and some money did follow.
You actually saw the money exchange hands.
Come on now. One of my favorite things is basketball. I'm a point guard. We see the floor.
Oh, that's nice.
Peripheral vision. I saw it, and it was a
peripheral
thing.
Peripheral vision.
What did I say?
Peripheral.
You know.
It's pronounced peripheral vision.
God knows my heart.
But please don't let our listeners think it's pronounced peripheral.
No, I can see out the side. Because I got that special stuff. When in doubt, I'll reframe it to layman terms. Yo, I can see what's going on around me. Another saying about money. Money can't buy you love. Hold on, time out. You're not supposed to pause that long. I need you to let the underdogs know that money can buy you some things related, like in the universe or atmosphere of love, but it can't really. Well,
that one I'm gonna go with Pollyanna, if that's what you is that that's the word you using. Cause have you seen Tamar Braxton's husband? No disrespect, but if he didn't have money, they would not be in love right now. I'm sorry. Have you seen him?
No.
Oh, well, I'm going to show you a pic at the next break.
Although, I will say I saw a study once about online dating.
Yeah.
And it talked about men who were, you know, looking to meet women online and vice versa, women looking to meet men. And they said that if a dude was under 5'10", which is the average height for American man, every inch he was under 5'10", for him to get interactions with women, he had to make a certain amount of more money.
There you go.
To literally offset this height thing.
Yeah, but, that's terrible.
But still, I don't want to believe that.
A woman will, that's true, because Tamar Braxton's husband's about like 600 pounds, but he's taller than her. You know, like he's about 800 pounds.
But Kevin Hart makes a lot of money.
Kevin Hart makes a lot of money. So does T.I.
Yeah.
So does Taye Diggs. These people are.
So it's let's not go after the guys out there from that standpoint. All right, another one. Money is power. I think that one is, you know, having some money can allow you to do things that when you don't have it, you can't. You can back certain politicians. You can make certain things happen in the community. So definitely, while they say loving people is great, but organizing money helps make things happen.
Yeah, that's good.
And then my last one, and my favorite one, always bet on black.
Oh, that's a money thing?
Yeah, think about blackjack.
Oh, I thought that was from roulette. Always bet on black.
A roulette, too.
Because blackjack, isn't that just 21? How are you betting
yes,
black?
Yes, roulette. That's what I meant to say. Always bet on black.
Can I add one?
Of course. Is it? Well, it depends. Is it a camera?
No, it's Biggie.
Okay.
Actually, no, it's Diana Ross. More money, more problems.
You got Biggie and Diana mixed up?
No, both, because it's more money, more problems.
Yes. Do you believe that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, because the things that you need to care and worry about as you acquire more things that you got as a result of money, or the things you need to do to make that increased amount of money, add to the problems that you have.
Yes. And there's also a theory of we can only hope in life to have bigger problems and more money.
Well, I like that even better.
Yes. All right. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, speaking of money, we're going to get into the saying of, does everybody have a price? Some may believe that there was someone in Detroit who believed some lions had a price. And we're not talking about the animals. We're talking about the NFL players. And we'll get into that and some more of the unavoidable news stories of the week, your phone calls and your comments throughout, more underdog stuff, and the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break.
Okay, okay. I freestyle on the beat, huh? I style free on the street, huh? And if you see me wanna meet, huh? Say hi, cause I love a good greet, huh? I don't get high, no. I just stay fly, though. Gregory, jump in. I'ma need you to get on this beat. Jump in.
Here we go. As I creep in. Because I ain't sleeping. On this beat. And it's time to go. Appreciate all the people listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show.
Like the flow. They like the flow. They like the flow. Gregory Neesmith Show. They like the flow. Okay.
Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. We may not be Cameron, but
when the camera's on,
we make it happen. Have a little fun up in the studio. Today's episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show is Show Me the Money. And shout out to the underdogs and to my people and the occasional Trump supporter that have joined so far, especially on the Facebook Live. Shout out to Kirsten Magwood, one of the folks who is the reason why we have the show we have. She's part of the original team that got this whole thing popping. And so shout out to Kirsten. You can catch her on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, on her show, Best of the Best, every Tuesday night starting at midnight. She had a very cool comment about money.
Yeah, so before the break, I mentioned a comment of more money means more problems, a common money phrase that we all know. And Kirsten says, please, no money equals real problems.
Well, now.
I definitely can't disagree with that one.
Yo, that's real.
That is.
Shout out to Kirsten.
No money means real problems.
Very real. Also, shout out to all the folks who joined. Danny, I see Angela on there. We saw Kirsten's comment. Appreciate all the folks joining in to today's show.
And shout out to Danny, who said amazing talent and beauty is more powerful than cash.
Was
he referring to you?
Hey, I'll take it. If I can get a little compliment, I'll take it. But I have a feeling he was probably referring to both of us or maybe to you.
And Kirsten actually posted another one, which I really think is really great. It says, In all seriousness, the real measure of your wealth is how much you'd be worth if you lost all your money.
Mm. That's deep, and that is very true.
I love it.
Yeah, amazing. You know, as they say, money is the root of all evil, but oftentimes it's never really about the money, but it does conjure up a lot of feelings and emotions. Good stuff so far from the underdogs out there. All right. Keeping with the theme of Show Me the Money, let's get into our first story of the week and get personal about the news and the culture. And that would be a question related to money. Does everyone have a price?
Ooh.
And that gets to it's Sunday. Everybody knows we do the show here live every Sunday afternoon. Then the podcast comes out on Mondays and Wednesdays. And I'm still not watching football.
Wow. So now we're in, what week is football now? 3 or 4?
It, depending on whether you have bye weeks and stuff like that, and the fact that I haven't been watching it, I'm not fully sure, but I think they're in week 5.
Oh, wow. It's that far of like 16. I know that it has 16 weeks, so.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so we're past the first quarter mark of the NFL season, and I'm still not watching. And, you know, players have been protesting so far, taking knees, locking arms, still, I believe, fighting for bringing awareness to inequalities in our justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, folks are getting nervous. A lot of the owners are feeling caught between a rock and a hard place. They got their players who are protesting, and then a lot of their fans are like, hey, they're disrespecting our flag.
Mm.
And so there's a tension that's going on. So I have a question. And keep this in the back of your mind as we go through this story. Do you believe in hush money or the kind hearts of those with philanthropic aspirations?
I have a funny feeling that's a leading question, my friend.
I'm just happy that I said philanthropic properly.
You did. I will always be here to correct you.
Because if I went for philanthropy, I wasn't quite sure if I could get that out. So I was like, how can I make this sentence in a way that I can say the word that I know how to say? Philanthropic.
It's your fault for having a co-host that's an English major. You chose it.
Yes, I did. My bad. I just got to stick to hush money or not. All right. With that, Detroit Lions owner Martha Ford.
Mm-hmm.
When the whole controversy started with Donald Trump actually talking about the players, calling them SOBs,
yeah.
She issued a statement back in end of September. And she said, our game has long provided a powerful platform for dialogue and positive change in many communities throughout our nation. Thanks primarily to our players, the NFL also has been a unifying force in our country, and impactful change has and hopefully will continue to be the result of peaceful expression done so in the order to highlight social injustices of all kinds. Negative and disrespectful comments suggesting otherwise are contrary to the founding principles of our country, and we do not support those comments or opinions.
Damn. Tell us how you really feel.
Martha Ford, owner of the Detroit Lions NFL football team, back at the end of September saying Trump don't talk about NFL players that way. And basically, I read that statement as she being on the side of her players having the right to do what they're doing.
Their game is a powerful platform for dialogue and positive change in many communities. I feel like that just sums up what she was trying to say.
All right. So Martha Ford, owner of Detroit Lions, who now owns it. Her husband passed away a few years ago. She's now the sole owner. Sounds good, right?
Right.
On it.
On it.
And then this past week happened.
So now September. Now fast forward 1 month.
Fast forward to the last game the Detroit Lions played.
Okay.
Earlier this week. And it was reported that Martha Ford talked to her players and was like, hey, I'm feeling a lot of heat. I need y'all to stop protesting. And if you do, I'll give you some money. Donate to whatever charities you want. Whatever you want. Use my name. Whatever you want to do. Just here's some good faith. I'm going to support whatever cause you want.
Right. Okay.
Hush money or her kind-hearted self being philanthropic.
So was she giving, so basically she's saying, I'll give money to any charity you want. All you have to do is stand up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Use the word whatever a couple times too.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever charity you want.
Yeah.
Use my name. In exchange, please stand for the anthem.
Right.
And it got me to thinking about... Does everyone have a price? Is this even a bad thing?
Well, I mean, I think they know that the moment of the gesture is going to fade faster than continuing to having people kneel, right? And I think that's what is really interesting here. I think it's really interesting. I think it's a really interesting debate because it's sort of like it sort of puts the onus on the players to stand, because then now it makes it look like as if they're taking money out of the pocket of a charity by kneeling, which on the part of the owner's legal team or representation, whoever hatched that plan, I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so underdogs out there. Today's theme is show me the money, and how money seems to be woven throughout a lot of the topics today in the news and in the culture. Is this hush money Or is this a woman being kind-hearted and philanthropic, saying, there's an issue out there, I want to do what I can do to solve it, and so I'm going to offer up some money.
Right.
With that, we, I believe, have a caller on the line. Name and where you're calling from.
This is Deborah from Manhattan.
Hello, Deborah.
I think that if they were to do that and accept the money, that things will get worse if they can't get any worse. I don't find anything funny about that. I think the fact that she would even offer money to somebody, that tells you just what she thinks of you. It tells you what she thinks of you. Because when your body drops, that's it. You're not coming back. And there's no giggling factor to that. So,
and
I think it's terrible.
And so if you were able to talk to those Detroit Lions players, what would you tell them to do?
Let them do what they want to do. They're men. They're grown men. First of all, the anthem, I mean, the flag has nothing to do with what's going on. And everybody that is running the show, the NFL, they know that. So you ask them about the Department of Recruitment, and then you come and you talk to your people and see what goes on with that. People are dying. People are shooting people needlessly. I'm not talking about Chicago and New York, all of that. That's that whole line that white people like to use to talk about that. You're talking about police shooting people unnecessarily. I'm not talking about criminals.
Yep.
And so the fact that you would even ask somebody for some money to keep their mouth shut, I think that's terrible. You ought to put it on her. Make her the criminal.
Hey, I hear you, Deborah. And
have a good day.
You too. That was Deborah from Manhattan. Both, I believe, sharing her disappointment in the fact that Martha would extend money as potentially being the solution. And I think she also makes a point, too, which we've talked about in previous weeks, which is folks often are getting derailed from the true meaning of why this protest even started.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, she definitely brings up some really, really good points there. And it is, you know, if all sort of goes into account, to me, it does seem like hush money. It seems like sit down, shut up, be quiet, but it's not like they're just paying it. And that's sort of what I was saying before. It's not like take $50,000 and shut up. It's if you don't, if you continue to kneel, then a charity is not going to get $50,000. You know, so it's almost putting the onus on the person, you know, which I think is a little bit sneaky and underhanded.
Well, now it also feels disingenuous, too.
Right.
Because literally, and until you said it just now, that angle never even occurred to me, is that Martha basically says, if you don't, hey, I'm willing to help in whatever you want me to do. Use my name however you want me to. But if you don't kneel, I actually am not going to support any causes that help end inequalities in our justice system.
If you kneel, I'm not going to.
Yes,
do
if
that.
You kneel. So meaning, yeah.
Right. So,
which is even.
Which is right. So in her initial statement, where she's saying our game has provided a powerful platform for dialogue and positive change, at the same time she's saying people are kneeling to create a dialogue and positive change around people dying. If they don't stop kneeling, I'm not going to do anything financially to support any causes that are trying to help and mitigate that.
Ooh, and
not thanks, guys, for kneeling and bringing attention to this. Let me support this and continue to, I kneel with you, or I continue to, you know, share with you guys how important this is.
Yeah, it's. And while it's true we don't know whether her intention came from a good place, it definitely doesn't land on me as being the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because literally, I see her as operating from a place of anxiety, embarrassment, worry about her business.
Mm-hmm.
And this was almost, in a way, while it could have even been well-intentioned, it was very dismissive of like, hey, can I throw y'all some money and like this like all go away?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it worked.
Really?
2 weeks ago, 8 to 9 players reportedly kneeled for the national anthem that were Detroit Lion players. And after Martha Ford makes this gesture to her players, only 2 kneeled the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reported that at least one of those 2 was kneeling because there was a death in the person's family, and they believed that he was kneeling to honor and respect the fact that he had lost a loved one. So literally from 8 to 9 down to 1 or 2.
Wow.
And so it seems that the Detroit Lions did have a price, which was whatever she wants to donate to whatever causes with the use of her name was enough for at least those players to move on.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, though, I think she handled it all wrong. To me, what would have been a better place to go, and I think this will be instructive for other teams and owners around the league, 2 questions. Talk to your players and ask them 2 questions first before you do anything. Inquire as to why they specifically are protesting. And then ask them, how can I help? If we would have started there, then I think we would have all found out that just throwing some hush money at them would not have been the solution.
Yeah.
And when times of crisis, sometimes we get panicky, people get anxious, and we just like rush to do whatever we can do to move on. And that's not actually going to make things be any better. And into my estimation, it actually might have made things, as Deborah pointed out, worse.
Worse.
So, Underdogs, love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this hush money or Martha Ford of the Detroit Lions was being philanthropic and doing things from a kind-hearted place? And as Deborah, our caller, pointed out, maybe this is even about the players. Maybe the discussion would be what Martha Ford and these owners should be doing, and is this like the right way to go down the path we want to go down, or really there's other ways for owners to do this?
Keon, one of our Facebook Live viewers, said just really one word. It's slick.
It is. Now, shout out to Keon. With that, though, what have the other owners done? What have the other owners said? Have they offered any solutions, collaboration? So, you know, sometimes we vilify those who take the first step. She took one. I don't think it was the right one. But now what? Where are the rest of the owners at? And by the way, where are the politicians at? I don't want NFL players negotiating policy changes and things we should be doing in our community all by themselves.
Right.
So I'm actually also, so we want to be disappointed in Martha Ford. Guess who else I'm disappointed in? The city council, the representatives, and the senators from the state of Michigan. That's who I'm disappointed in too. They just sitting by just chilling.
They don't want to get
there. We're going to let 20-something NFL football players figure out how we're going to solve inequality in the justice system, at least in this small part of their lives in the Detroit area, and have them negotiating with the owner. So I'm also sick and tired of, like, everybody watching from the sidelines, no pun intended, that NFL players are left to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I believe we might have a caller. And then we're going to take a quick break and continue with the show. Show me the money. Caller, name where you're calling from. And we do not have another caller. So, Underdogs, weigh in. Keon says it's slick.
And he says also shut up money instead of hush money. He says it's shut up money.
Ooh. Okay.
And Daryl has a comment on Facebook Live. He says the NFL owners are in a catch-22. 70% of your labor force are minorities. 70% of your customer base is Caucasians who have money. Add in the president who insults the whole labor force, and the owners are in a tough spot. If you own a business and POTUS calls all your employees SOBs, how would you feel?
Yeah, but you know what? Tough situations come up when we're leaders, when we're CEOs, when we're owners of things. And so to me, this is also instructive of when stuff gets tough, being defensive or acting out of embarrassment or anxiety has us do things like, hey, let me just give him some money and see if I can make everything go away.
Hmm.
even if her intentions were good, just that she just doesn't want everybody to be all upset. And maybe all she knows at 90-something years old and as a millionaire is like, well, maybe I can give some money to make it all go away. Got it. But we need folks to do better. Why are you protesting? How can I help? Would have been where she and the other owners get to start. And oh, by the way, let's not have these football players out here trying to solve inequality in our justice system by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders, Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Paging.
Paging, Mr. Booker.
Where y'all at? You voted for him for president, but you don't want to help out on this big issue for one of your major voting blocks. I'm making a note of it. Caller, name, where you calling from?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Hi, Gregory. How are you? This is Angela.
Hey, Angela. How you doing?
I'm fine. Say it again.
No.
Can you hear?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What I do find interesting is I do think that when the players decide to change their minds in the middle of the decision-making process and decide to stand based on whatever the charity the owner decides that they're going to donate in their name, I think it changes the agenda for the reason why they took the knee in the first place. I mean, if your reason for taking a knee was for the treatment of Black people by police officers, and that hasn't changed, then why would you then stand up in the name of a charity when the reason why you took a knee in the first place hasn't been addressed?
No, hey, I totally agree. And on top of that, I'll build on that. When is it good to start changing things based on like a comment or like a quick handshake or like when someone says, hey, I got you, whatever you need? We haven't picked a cause. We haven't aligned on what the parameters are. We don't even know what the players want and what she's willing to support. I don't just like, you can't just come up in here and be like, yeah, you know, I got you.
And then
I'm gonna just stop
whole,
what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got you. Stop.
Right. Yeah.
Like that underdogs out here, please don't enter into any deals in life where you are irate or bothered by something in a cause and someone says, yo, I need you to stop, but I got you. And then you're like, okay.
Exactly. That's a good point.
Right? Where's the follow-up? We don't even have a timeline. But what happened is someone immediately stopped something that was a major cause for like a whatever you want, I got you later, maybe, kind of, I guess.
You know what, Gregory? You know what I think the biggest thing is that I think that in the beginning, again, it wasn't about a protesting of the flag or the country. And I think that when you start something for a particular reason and someone tries to change the agenda of your reasoning, it gets absolutely convoluted. And I think that's why we're in the predicament that we're in today, because we're still allowing them to say that we're disrespecting the flag, we're disrespecting the anthem, we're disrespecting the country. And really, that's not what it's about at all. And even today, they still have conversations. And to hear so many people say it's disrespectful without really addressing the initial reason why the knee was taken in the first place. And I think most of this talk that's happening is really convoluted, and we're having an argument within an argument that's not the central idea or the basis or the premise of the argument in the first place.
Totally agree. And that's also one of the reasons why I also don't want these athletes out here on an island by themselves, because protests are oftentimes done to get awareness and to hopefully get people to acknowledge that there's an issue. I believe the protests at least initially did that. And then to your point, we've now lost focus.
Yep.
Where's the policy demands? The Justice Department reversed an Obama initiative to make sure that police departments that had systematic issues with race and policing were to be both investigated, then publicized, and then assisted with ways to rectify that. That's been pulled back by the DOJ. How about someone saying, that's one of the reasons why I'm protesting, and I want that as a policy change?
Absolutely.
It's things like that. I want people to continue to look at stop and frisk and find out whether or not they are profiling Blacks and Hispanics and other people of color more than they do other people. I haven't heard people say, well, now that we got the awareness, let people know what we want.
Private prisons, get that out of here.
But instead, to your point, we're talking about hush money and flags.
Yeah.
And to me, what is disrespectful is inequality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's unfortunate, but it's the day and time that we're living in, and unfortunately, you can't change the hearts and... Well, I at times I say you can't change the hearts and minds of people, but what I do believe is that if Black people were portrayed properly in media, in social settings, on television, all these different things, the same way, and not to go against or go off topic, but at one point 20 years ago, LGBT, it wasn't as powerful as it was. They were discriminated against. There were public killings, and they were just harassed, just, you know, the way that Black people were. It is because social media made it socially acceptable to accept gay people and allow them, you know, in their workforce. Now, they're not a big deal. If this country really wanted to change racism, they would do it by being mindful of the images, by the way that they portray us. And they're not doing that. So they're not taking responsibility, and we are falling down by the wayside.
All fair points, and we appreciate you calling in. And we're going to talk about continuing to make sure that folks rediscover how special we are as underdogs out here in this world. And so right now we're talking about race. But later in the show, we'll also talk about gender.
Mm-hmm.
And that still is a fight out there for us.
Yeah, and I think I wanted to bring up another comment that we had on Facebook Live, which says, you know, we've been talking about it. It's sort of a counterpoint to balance this out, because I think we're all in the camp of hush money, you know, and we've got.
And if you're not, let us know.
Right. We've got a comment that says maybe she just wants to make a difference and feels the best way is putting your money where your mouth is.
Yes. And I'm so glad someone said that. There are times when I think of the five love languages. That's what immediately comes to mind. And they often say we have certain ways that we love to be loved.
Yeah.
And for some people, gifts. It's like their thing. They love to get gifts. And for other people, it might be acts of service. And oftentimes we give love in the way that we like to receive it. So, like I said earlier, I'm not here to say that I know Martha Ford's true intentions. It could be that one of the ways she expresses her love or her support for people is by giving money. Okay.
But there should not be strings attached.
Yes. So, with that said, the way we do things doesn't always mean that they're effective, well-received, or that we can't learn how to do them better. And so, to me, even if it was the most well-intentioned thing in the world, it doesn't come across that way. And to me, when in situations like this, the best thing she could have done was go, why are you protesting? How can I help? Not, hey, here's some money. I mean well. Can you stop what you're doing and we'll take care of it later?
Yeah. Or she could have just said, hey, I stand with my team and what they're fighting for, and I'm making a donation on behalf of the Detroit Lions to whatever organization is trying to enact or push for legislation around these these issues that these people are kneeling for.
Yes, and mind you, this ain't easy. Not everybody, you know, is ready to be like the leader of a cause. So I give some grace to the fact that Martha Ford, whose husband passed away, now the owner of the Detroit Lions, she likely wasn't living her whole life going, I'm looking to be the leader of inequality in the justice system. I get that. But that doesn't mean that she can't continue to learn from things. She might have been trying to do her best, but it didn't work out that way. And so now how do we make things better? And also, she shouldn't be out here on the island. I got Donald Trump politically pushing his agenda. I need folks who are on the other side of this issue pushing it too.
I mean, I just think anybody that's in the business of making money off the bodies of Black people, which is what football team owners do,
70% of the workforce,
should have a vested interest in the lives of Black people.
Yeah. Awareness, check. Acknowledgement, not so much. Time to get a list of demands going and not have these football players out here on the island by themselves.
Exactly.
Hi.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Name and where you're calling
from. This is Deborah. Let me tell you why this is so dangerous. It's not just the football players. People know what's going on. And not only that, They're talking to their children. So when you think about sneakers and, you know, jerseys and all of that kind of stuff, and even when they play, some of the children are taking knees. Have you seen those pictures?
I have, at the high school level, at the Pop Warner level.
No, these are grammar school.
Oh, grammar school.
And they have the audacity to be angry because they were playing the Whitney Houston anthem. Well, you know what? Anybody white listening, the last time I checked, that money when she sang, she gave it to the soldiers. So all of you who want to sit on your behind and talk, first of all, there's no other person other than Marvin Gaye that can sing that song and actually almost make you believe that America is what they're trying to make it out to be. And they can sing anything they want. But children, they like sports. They like sneakers. They like all of those things. And people, when you sit down and you talk to them, okay, you might want a pair of sneakers here and there, but you don't need a pair of sneakers for every day of the week. And many of our children almost do. And we don't have to have that. We need books. Throw a book sometimes to the kid, they act like it's, you know, kryptonite or something. But, I mean, we don't need all of that. So it's bigger than the football players. You see, that's why they're coming after them. And as far as I'm concerned, if she wants to stand up for them, let her stand up for them and don't take a dime. I don't care if she doesn't ask you to sign anything. Don't take anything. Hey. You don't take anything. Because she's always, you know, something that, you know, well, you know, we looked in the contract and such and such and such. Don't take anything. If you want to do the right thing, you'll do the right thing.
I hear you, Deborah, and let's hope
okay?
that she
if you
that.
Can take 25 children being shot in a small town and not want to change the gun law for them, and they look like them, with the exception of one, what makes you think they're going to do something, you know? And basically, Trump is like, you know, trying to blackmail people because he said it the first time. Well, I know some of these people. These people, some of these owners, they're my best. Some of them are my friends.
Yes, he has oftentimes attempted to bully folks into doing the things that they're doing.
Yeah, so that's her business. But, I mean, don't try and make her into some sort of, you know, She's no.
I hear you.
She's got enough money. She knows.
Hey, as always,
have a good day.
You too. Appreciate you. So just one thing on this before we take a quick break. It was reported by Sean King this morning on Twitter that there are a number of teams that are looking to fast track new policies related to what players are required to do during the anthem. So we'll
I believe the NBA actually has those policies in their contract. So
they do.
And the NFL only started this because of the military, which we talked about last week. So that's why it's not expressly in their contracts, because it's actually a marketing ploy.
Yep.
Well, that's what it started as.
Yes.
Versus the NBA, it was, you know, part of the game.
Yeah, this continues to be a hot topic, and appreciate all the underdogs chiming in both online and obviously the callers. And we'll continue to monitor this and keep our eye on the prize, which is inequality in our justice system, both from policing through sentencing, through jail time, and then post-jail time, continue to be disproportionately negatively affecting people of color.
I don't think anyone can disagree with that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, there's protests because somehow folks are either not aware or not willing to acknowledge it. Hmm. And throwing some money that isn't even agreed upon to wherever and whenever it goes is not the answer, no matter how well-intentioned it was or slick. With that, take a quick break, and then more of today's show, Show Me the Money. And unfortunately, there's a theme of money going throughout a lot of the stuff happening in the news and the culture. More after this. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a place where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. Appreciate all of you for going on the journey of today's episode. Show me the money. And unfortunately, money is woven throughout a lot of what's been going on in the news this week. We also, to kick off the show, talked about some of our favorite money phrases.
Mm-hmm.
More money, more problems.
Money talks.
Yes, indeed. Always bet on black.
Which is roulette, not blackjack.
Yes, and it's not philanthropic.
No, it is philanthropic.
Oh, no, I got it right?
You said it
okay,
right.
Okay, it's my peripheral vision.
Peripheral. You're putting the R in the wrong place and you're adding an E somewhere.
That joke is hard for me to say. Which supposedly may go into Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Right, okay. Speaking of Merriam, speaking of words in the dictionary. They can't see you looking at me. We're on the radio.
On the Facebook Live, okay. They can see me looking at you. And, of course, we talked about the money. You know, do people have a price? And we talked about hush money or a kind-hearted philanthropy from Martha Ford, the owner of Detroit Lions. And shout out to all the underdogs who jumped into that conversation. I land on the place of hush money and inappropriate. Let us know where you land. The Facebook Live is up at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, and the phone lines are open at 212-650-6903. Speaking of football. Speaking of show me the money, which actually is a phrase from Jerry Maguire. Which
show
is
me the money.
I got to hear you feel it.
Show me the money.
You got to tell me you love black people.
I love black people, but I actually love all people. Like,
let's.
I'm sorry, but I do love black people.
Okay, well, we're about to talk gender.
Yes.
All right. In the realm of football, again, football became larger than just a sport with this latest news topic, which gender got into the discussion. While we were doing the show probably live last week, or at least later in the day, Cam Newton, after playing a game, which I believe the Carolina Panthers won, and Cam Newton is the franchise quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, he was at a press conference.
Yes.
And after games, athletes get, you know, questions about what happened, what's going on. And in the theme of show me the money, this next story could likely be categorized as how to lose some money. And what happened was, just in case you haven't heard, was this. Cam Newton, at a press conference, getting a question from a female reporter, and this happened.
Seeing your receivers play well, Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes, like, it's funny, but fun is coming along, man. We're gonna this is a big game for him, because of, you know, him being from Detroit, and you know, I know he want this win extremely bad, and just to see his growth over the years, he's a completely different player. We're not just on the field.
And that was Cam Newton responding to a question from Jordan Rodriguez. Of the Charlotte Observer. Mm-hmm. She's a beat writer for them. And Cam's comments caused a lot of angst and a lot of folks being upset for feeling that he needed to or wanted to call out the fact that the reporter was female.
Right.
And initially after it was reported that there was some discussion between Jordan and Cam afterwards, which supposedly didn't go that well in terms of there was no apology. There was still some tension. It's reported that the Carolina Panthers waited a little while before they issued a statement. And then the week kind of went on as if maybe nothing had happened. Then you heard more people talk about it. Then Danone, which is a yogurt and food company that was a sponsor, he was a sponsor for, a spokesman for, actually cut ties with him. And then by Thursday of this week, Cam was issuing an apology, which we'll play shortly. But that's kind of what happened this week. And underdogs out there, we want to know a couple things. For one, was Cam out of line or not? Should he have lost his sponsorship or not? We'll talk about that after this station ID.
Mic check.
Keep it locked on WHCR 90.3 FM.
Okay.
New York.
Asha Davis.
As the resident female host on this show, I will weigh in on matters of femininity.
I figured you would have something to say about this.
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, so I, you know, obviously Cam, he's a black quarterback. It's a very big deal to be a black quarterback in the NFL. He's won Super Bowl, or was in the Super Bowl, and, you know, he's a very sort of famous player. And I think that he does a lot of work in the community, and he, for the most part, until now, has sort of, you know, stayed out of trouble for the most part, which is why he had sponsors like a yogurt brand whose obvious primary fan base is female. And it's hard because you could imagine him being in a setting with his friends, right? In a co-ed setting with his friends. And they're all just talking about the game and that kind of thing. And one of the friends who happens to be female, you know, because her question was quite intelligent, you know, and it was a really good question. And you could imagine him being like, whoa, like, from a female, that was a really good question. And in the context of your friends, you wouldn't necessarily, you know, second guess it. But in the context, he's done enough of these press conferences. These things happen after every single game.
7 years
he's
in the NFL.
Done enough of Seven. These to know the difference between a conversation with your friends when you act. Because I don't actually believe that he meant to be sexist by it. You know what I mean? I actually don't. I don't believe it. You know, there aren't that many female sports reporters, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? And so I don't think that he really meant to be like that. I think he was genuinely taken aback by the question. And, you know, he just needs to do a better job of, like, separating this. And so I know that that's going to be not the common view that most females are going to have. And most females are going to just come out and blatantly say that it was sexist. And in the context of a public forum and the platform that he has, it's obviously sexist because he needs to be a role model in that public setting. And you can't really allow that to be the soundbite that you're giving off because, you know, you can't control the narrative.
No, and I appreciate you sharing that point of view. He's been doing NFL press conferences for 7 years now as a quarterback in the NFL. I would believe that this is not the first time a female reporter has had a question for him. And I gotta believe that he knows better. And it's just one of those things where, you know, as underdogs, especially women feeling like underdogs in the arena of sports, I could see how it could be seen as sexist and be hurtful. So I get it. And also, there's a lot of reporters who, even as males, have never played a lick of football in their life. So it's also not as if being a male somehow allows you to have some special insight to football. A lot of those dudes ain't never picked up a football in their life, just like she may or may not have. But she's a professional. And like, it's just not a good way to come at women. Now, I know there's some backstories and context to all this. And I know also the underdogs out there have some points of view and some thoughts on Facebook that we will read on air also.
Yeah, so Daryl says, Cam screwed up. It was a sign of immaturity. He apologized. I moved on. Do you want to play the apologies just so we can know what he said?
Yes, let's play the apology, and then we will eventually move on. Yeah. Move forward, and hopefully Cam will too.
After careful thought, I understand that my word choice was extremely degrading and disrespectful to women. And to be honest, that was not my intentions. And if you are a person who took offense to what I said, I sincerely apologize to you. I'm a man who tries to be a positive role model in my community and tries to use my platform to inspire others. And I take ownership to everything that comes with that. And what I did was extremely unacceptable. I'm a father to two beautiful daughters, and at their age, I try to instill in them that they can do and be anything that they want to be. And the fact that during this whole process, I've already lost sponsors and countless fans, I realized that the joke is really on me, and I've learned a valuable lesson from this. And to the young people who see this, I hope that you learn something from this as well. Don't be like me. Be better than me. And to the reporters, to the journalists, to the moms, super moms, to the daughters, the sisters, and the women all around the world, I sincerely apologize and hope that you can find the kindness in your heart to forgive.
And that was Cam Newton with what seems like a genuine apology. And, you know, like with most apologies, you get to hear them, you get to take them in, choose whether to accept them or not, and then see how folks' actions marry up to their words going forward.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in all honesty, I genuinely do believe, as he said, that he was literally just, like, making a joke. A lot of the times you see the same reporters all the time, you know, and not every reporter asks intelligent questions like that, you know? And I don't think that he was really meaning to be this misogynist guy that people were making him out to be. But I'm curious if you know, I haven't seen anything as it relates to, did she accept his apology or not? Has she come out and said that?
You know what? I believe the apology was posted on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We've now had Friday, Saturday, and then now Sunday now as media days. I have not heard confirmation whether or not she accepted his apology.
So didn't she have to issue an apology of her own recently?
Yes, yes. And so, you know, just a couple of things before we get to that, which is I do accept his apology. I think Daryl makes a good point about, you know, hopefully we can move forward. It is a big deal to come after females because whether the question was intelligent or not intelligent, it actually is irrelevant to the comment he made. With that, though, there's now news about this reporter, which, let me be very clear, are two separate things. So saying something that's seen as sexist and potentially set women back or conjures up or people being triggered by the fact that women are still working very hard to be accepted as equals in arenas like sports, that is a separate thing from the fact that now we've learned that Jordan, back in her college years, had some tweets that were racist.
So 2012, so not that long ago, just so that people don't think she's like a...
Yeah. And so she issued an apology for those comments, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with her now in her reporting career, which is she covers a sport that is predominantly African-Americans, the players, and will her tweets get in the way of her being able to do her job? Does the Charlotte Observer feel a certain type of way about those things? Or is it like, hey, she was in college, she's now grown and matured, she's apologized, and we get to move on? We will see what happens and how she's treated.
I think at bare minimum, it should make her a little bit more amenable to accepting Cam's apology, to understand that obviously people make mistakes. What they say can potentially be taken out of context. Sometimes people say things that they don't necessarily mean. And I would hope that, you know, they can, that she can see that she makes mistakes just as he did.
No, totally agree. And one thing I will add to this, and I normally try my best not to bring other stories into stories, but again, we out here holding football players to certain standards or certain aspirations that we don't even hold the president of the United States to.
You know, that's an extremely good point, my friend.
I got the president of the United States on tape. We got Cam on tape. I got the president on tape talking about grabbing women by their private parts. I got people who have alleged that he has sexually assaulted them. He's on record talking about Megyn Kelly bleeding out of her face and nose and parts, insinuating something obviously related to her being a woman and her menstrual cycle and so forth. And I haven't seen people going, oh, well, I'm waiting on Donald Trump's apology. I haven't seen the loss of sponsors. I'm waiting for Republican elected officials to stop sponsoring him.
Yeah, I mean, that comment came out before the election, not after. So he got rewarded for those comments.
So I'm just, and so got it. Cam made a mistake. It's unacceptable. Women get to be treated as equals. And yet, we spent a whole week coming after Cam, and nobody's coming after Trump.
And especially in a week where Trump is actually... when we were talking earlier about, you know, don't just say something, be about something, fight for legislation, for what you believe in. You know, if we talk about Trump, we talk about his lack of respect for women and his lack of respect for women's rights. If we look at some of the legislation that's gone on this week, I feel like that is a very nice segue.
Yeah, let's talk about just one quick thing about Trump. Nobody forced or made him give an apology. He got to write off his comments as locker room talk. And yet when someone's in a locker room doing something, we were having him lose sponsors. We got him making statements and videotaping stuff. And yet we still got 45 up in the office. Someone who is actually not just saying stuff about women, but to your point, taking policy actions that affect women.
Exactly.
And what is one of those recent policy actions that is, in my opinion, negatively impacting women?
So on Friday, again, the Fridays, they seem to kind of do some of these sneaky things on Friday. The Trump administration issued a rule that limits the Affordable Care Act's contraception coverage mandate, basically, which means that many American women could no longer have access to birth control free of charge. So he wasn't able to repeal Obamacare. And so what he's doing is stripping out some of the women's rights factors that were built into there. So essentially, the new regulation, which was issued by the Health and Human Services Department, which if we all remember, Tom Price, who was the secretary of that department, recently had to resign for wasting taxpayer dollars on private jets.
$1 million worth of flights.
Yeah. And that's the same department. So this department actually doesn't have a head of it right now. So they're just doing what they're doing. And it basically allows a much broader group of insurers to exempt themselves from covering contraceptives such as birth control pills. And they're allowing them to do this on religious or moral grounds. And essentially, people have been trying to fight this since 2010, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, like anybody that sort of follows these sorts of issues, nuns have been going to the Supreme Court saying that they shouldn't have to pay for birth control on religious grounds and that kind of thing. But essentially, what is really sort of scary about this is that, you know, this could actually lead to a higher number of unintended pregnancies if people can't get ready, easy access to birth control. That's half the reason why it was already in the bill as a preventative care measure, right?
Yeah, this, I just don't understand sometimes. First of all, most companies and organizations, when we get in the U.S. healthcare benefits through our job, those benefits are seen as income that are given to us as employees
mm-hmm.
that are not taxed.
Yeah.
So the government is subsidizing the health benefits that a lot of Americans receive through their company.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes the healthcare that I'm receiving, even if through my company, part of a public entity.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I checked, when things have public attached to them and not private, they normally are governed by federal laws,
mm-hmm.
like equal employment, separation of church and state, things like that. So I'm shocked that something that is deemed legal feature of healthcare can now be picked and choose by companies who are receiving public funding to help them pay for the healthcare that helps them keep their employees. Like, I just don't, so I didn't even get into the moral piece about whether this is an attack on women's rights, whether women are again being attacked in a way where they don't get to choose to do what they want with their bodies. Just as a matter of public policy, why am I not able to get access to the benefits that are legally there?
Because it was enacted under Obama. And really, it fulfills a crucial promise that Trump made when he was a candidate. Remember, he was appealing to those social conservatives. And essentially, he signed an executive order in May to expand religious liberty. In a country that's supposed, like, what happened to between church and state? What happened to that?
I don't understand it. And I think a lot of people don't even grasp that the health care that a lot of people are getting through their companies is subsidized and helped to be paid for by the government. And last time I checked, the government is supposed to give us all equal protection under the law.
The National Women's Law Center actually said that in 2013, this one piece of legislation saved women $1.4 billion in contraceptive costs.
And oh, by the way, I am always disappointed how a lot of times these conversations end up being that women are being attacked or that women should stand up. Well, guess who the birth control is also impacts? Men.
Exactly.
This isn't a women's only issue.
Exactly.
Which is always disappointing to me too, that somehow it's like, well, I hope those women go stand up for themselves. No, they're on birth control because there's also a male involved. This is a male and female issue, and it's also a freedom issue. It's also equal protection under the law issue. I can't have single entities being greater than the freedom and liberties of citizens in America. I can't have it. We're going to take a quick break because there's, I think, multiple callers on the line.
Oh, wow. We're sparking debate.
There's likely Facebook Live comments. And so we're going to get to all that after this quick break. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Today's topic, show me the money. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things going on where money is woven throughout the topics of the news and the culture this week. More after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Today's topic, show me the money. And as always, if you're an underdog or my people or the occasional Trump supporter who accidentally finds this show, you're in the right place because we get personal about the news and the culture. I believe we might have a caller, and so I'm going to see if I can get them on the line. Caller, name where you're calling from. Name and where you're calling from. Okay, I thought I had them that time. Please call back. Not sure what happened that time. Asha Davis.
Before the break, we were talking about the Trump administration's rollback on legislation implemented by Obama that basically, organizations, healthcare coverers have the ability to not include contraception. And luckily, though, the National Women's Law Center has vowed to challenge the Trump administration in court on this. This is not going to be, we're not going to go down without a fight. We're not going to let them try to step on the rights of women, and not going to allow them to underhandedly erode benefits that for women's health enacted by the Trump administration enacted by the Obama administration just because they didn't like anything he did.
Cool. I'm glad folks are out there fighting.
And we have some comments on Facebook. Daryl says, you know, we talked a little bit about Tom Price, who was the former head of the Health and Human Services Department. So he says, speaking of Dr. Tom Price, when is he going to repay the $1 million? I thought the Republicans were supposed to control spending. Maybe Trump can have his Justice Department look into that. Maybe, Daryl. Maybe.
Shout out to Daryl, one of my friends from the 215 in Philadelphia. Showing up on the show in the 212 and appreciate him. And also, shout out to Keon, who made a comment who said, you go, Asha, sharing your opinion and not jumping on the bandwagon.
Oh, I think he was referring to my comments about Cam, because that I am probably the only female that didn't jump all over him for that.
Hey, we encourage independent thought from, you know, from the audience. So love it when folks share how they feel, not what they think people may want to hear.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about politics and women and Republicans. And this one might actually be interesting to you because it's about a representative out of Pennsylvania, which is your home state.
Not my state, not the Keystone State.
Which is your home state.
Should Daryl and I close our ears for this?
I think you need to keep them wide open. Maybe get a Q-tip. Because.
I can't hear you now.
This one has to do with abortion, which I know is another really sticky topic as it relates to women's health, and another one that certainly Republicans and the Trump administration and those fighting for the expansion of religious liberties in a country feel very strongly about. And so we've got U.S. Representative Tim Murphy, who is a pro-life congressman and a sponsor of a ban on abortions after 20 weeks, he's basically wants to ban abortions. And essentially, it's now come out that he encouraged his lover to terminate a pregnancy through abortion. Text messages have basically come out where she said, "You have zero issues posting your pro-life stance all over the place, and you had no issue asking me to abort our unborn child just last week when we thought that was one of the options."
I think the word is hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate. We've talked before on this show that I've been in, you know, we get personal about the news and the culture. I've been the guy on the other side of, you know, of abortion. Mm-hmm. So someone that I was dating, we had the choice of, you know, what to do. And obviously I got to give my thoughts, but the ultimate decision was up to the woman. And, she chose to not go through with the pregnancy. And so I know this topic very personally. And I think what the story you bring up points out is, you know, it's never good to have a public stance and a private stance, in my opinion, because these things deal with people. And if that guy had something happen in his life that caused him to see things differently, we talk about not jumping on the bandwagon, as Keon pointed out too. Mm-hmm. This would have been an opportunity for him to go, you know what? I've been now and I've seen it happen in my real life. And now I see it differently.
Exactly.
And while he might have been vilified for that, I think also, though, he would have been respected for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't like when people have public stances and private stances. It's not good.
Well, you know, and some people say that it's not even about abortion. It's about controlling women. And I think, you know, regardless of the fact that you were in that situation, I can guarantee that the way that you approached it was, let's have a conversation. And really, at the end of the day, it's the woman's choice. Yeah. You're not urging her to do one thing or the other. But what I think is a positive is that this person has now resigned from politics. And, you know, unlike some other people who are still the president.
When's 45 going to resign?
Still the president?
I got dudes resigning because they had a public stand and a private stand. I got Cam Newton losing endorsements. And I got Donald Trump just doing whatever he wants.
Exactly.
And that, because, you know, I like to use some unwords every now and then, is to me just unbelievable, unacceptable, just.
How he has it is, how he's still the president is unbeknownst to me.
That's a good, I don't think we've ever used unbeknownst on this. That was very peripheral of you.
I'm going to ask you to not say that anymore.
Circumlocutious?
I'm going to ask you to stop.
I learned new words doing the show with you.
I'm going to ask you to stop. Please.
Can you tell me the circle word one more time?
Circumlocution. It means to talk in circles.
Special sauce. All right. We're going to take a quick break and then come back with the final stretch, the home stretch of the Gregory Niesman Show. Today's topic episode, Show Me the Money. Appreciate all your phone calls and comments, and still more show to come. I think we're going to talk about potentially fear.
Mm-hmm.
And new things going on in people's lives. But before we go to break, I think we might have a caller. Name and where you're calling from.
Hi, I don't know if you can talk about it. It's Deborah from Manhattan.
Yep.
What yogurt is this?
It was
Danone.
Yep. They're one of their Greek yogurt lines. He was the spokesperson for.
Which one?
Danone, and it was their Greek yogurt line.
I think it's called Oikos.
Yes, Oikos. Yep.
Okay. And another thing, regarding her issue with the racist comments.
Yes.
I don't quite understand why he was made to go through this whole apology thing. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when men say things like that, I've seen women actually kind of like gush, because they're complimented in a sort of like off-kilter sort of way, like, you know, like, wow, she knows this. You know what I mean? Like, yep. It's just like when you see women, like, I like boxing. Most women don't like boxing. A lot of women don't like boxing.
Hey, Deborah, you know, and if you say that, they're going to accuse you of being
like
sexist.
Oh, well, you know, that's the, almost, men was like, it's a man's sport, you know. Well, no, it's not. People like to watch it. I don't necessarily like to see women box, because I just don't like to see them get punched in the face. But yeah. In terms of the football, I think that somebody should dig closely into her, because anything that these football players say now, they're going to be held suspect.
Yeah,
and I think that they want to try and take as much money from them as possible. So when they walk up to you and you see them coming, I don't care what perfume you smell, you look at them like an old white man, and you just give your interview respectful and go on about your business.
And keep it moving.
Yeah.
Hey, as always, appreciate you, Deborah.
Bye.
Bye. And I will say one more time before we go to break, can we hold Donald Trump to the same standards we seem to be holding every other single American?
Please.
Just one time?
Just one time.
Just one time.
Just one.
Because we going after everybody.
Exactly.
We going after Martha Ford. We going after Cam Newton. We going after that congressman you just talked about. We go after Bill O'Reilly. They going after the guy, Harvey Weinstein, I think his name was.
Oh, but that, don't. He's actually a terrible person.
Yes, yes. He broke the law. And he obviously,
all these people are terrible people, yes, including Trump, but like.
Well, I'm not calling Cam a terrible person.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, don't put Cam in the same block as Harvey Weinstein.
No.
Like, don't even say them in the same sentence.
Yes, that is true. I think in my anger. All I'm saying is that we seem to have something to say and want to hold every single person in this country accountable for any and everything they do, except for Donald Trump.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I hear you.
All right. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. I think you need a breather and a glass of water.
I do. I need to take a sip of water. I need to step away from the mic while this music plays. And then when we come back, the big finish to the show. When are we going after Trump? Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Today's episode, Show Me the Money. Unfortunately, money has woven its way through a lot of stuff going on in the news and the culture this week. And in not so good ways. There's some hush money out there. There's folks losing some endorsements out there. There's, unfortunately, potentially women losing access to birth control health care coverage because of one of the rollbacks of the Trump administration. So just, you know, a lot of stuff going on related to money. And we also talked about some of our favorite money phrases. Shout out to Tanya from Harlem.
Shout out, Tanya.
Who just called during the break. A longtime listener, and we appreciate her energy and her support. She just said that it's been reported, and it's something that we'll try to Google and confirm. But she said it was reported that Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, was at a Colts game. And it's reported that he walked out of the game. And I'm going to assume that's because there might have been some type of kneeling or protest during the national anthem.
Wow.
And so we will try to see if we can get that confirmed and share a little bit more information. Because one of the things we do ask the underdogs to do out there is that our show is during Sundays, during kickoff. And obviously this is a big topic for underdogs. It's also a personal topic for me as a black man in America and the inequalities that we have in our justice system. And so if something's going on around the league, let us know. And that is a great update. And we'll see if that is actually.
Yeah, well, speaking of things that I would wish that Mike Pence would walk out on, white supremacy, which he seems to not have a problem with, it seems. For those who've been following the news, you would have heard that on Saturday, just yesterday, just last night, we all remember Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yes.
We all remember the infamous torch-bearing supporters, right?
Yep.
Well, they were back at it again last night. They essentially, they all gathered around the Robert E. Lee statue in Emancipation Park, chanting white supremacist slogans. They were shouting, "You will not replace us. Russia is our friend. And essentially, we'll be back, and the South will rise again." And it was organized by Richard Spencer, who advocates for the peaceful ethnic cleansing of non-whites. And he made a brief speech through a bullhorn. "We are here to represent white America's interest." And he says that Charlottesville residents have a false sense of community. Now, police arrived only about 30 minutes after this started, and, you know, they were able to break it up. But they were still, you notice that it hasn't really made its way to the mainstream news yet. And we're more concerned about Mike Pence walking out. The government is, our leaders are more concerned about football players kneeling than they are about people advocating for the peaceful ethnic cleansing of all non-white peoples.
Yeah, it's actually, I don't even know what word I'm looking for, but the fact that the Charlottesville thing would come up again, that they're back out there, white nationalists, showing their faces, showing their force, showing who they are, which is, you know, how can I put this? Up until 50 years ago, there were laws that separated blacks from the rest of the people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That is a white nationalist manifestation in policy and law and culture in this country. Now, if I said that the United States was a racist country up until Jim Crow was ended, I think that's a fair statement. But it doesn't mean that everyone in the country was racist.
Right.
And we get to this point in time where I'm not saying that every Trump supporter is racist. But when Trump is attracting people who believe in white supremacy, who are Nazi believers, who are neo-Nazis or white nationalists, you got to ask yourself, why is he, unlike George Bush before him, mm-hmm. or even Ronald Reagan before him, mm-hmm. they weren't attracting folks like this.
That you know of. They certainly,
well, at least not publicly. It's a new low. And Mike Pence, to your point, is out here worrying about a flag as opposed to worrying about the division or the racial inequality or the fact that this country is not in its best place or best self right now. And Tanya, shout out to Tanya. I just found out or pulled up on the news report that Mike Pence did leave the game. He actually issued a tweet at 1:08 this afternoon. And he said that I left the Colts game because POTUS and I will not dignify any event that disrespects our soldiers, our flag, our national anthem. I'm waiting for him to walk out on these white nationalists that were in Charlottesville last night.
I'm waiting for him to call them SOBs and not some very nice people.
Speak on it. And shouldn't they be fired from their jobs for believing in white nationalism?
Exactly.
Just like the NFL players supposedly should be fired from theirs. He goes on to say that at a time when Mike Pence tweeted this afternoon, at a time when so many Americans are inspiring our nation with their courage, resolve, and resilience, now more than ever, we should rally around our flag and everything that unites us.
But he still hasn't made a comment on the Charlottesville protest from last night.
No, yeah, look, all the tweets so far are about some folks peacefully following the law and the Constitution at a football game. And no, I haven't seen any tweets yet about Charlottesville and white nationalists and that is not unifying our country at a moment in time when supposedly there's so much unifying going on.
And obviously at the time in our country that he's referring to are the days and weeks to come after the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history, U.S. modern history. And definitely our thoughts and prayers are out there with everybody in Las Vegas at this time. It's definitely important for us to be unified and stand together with those people. And I think next week we want to talk a little bit more about gun control and some of the implications that this shooting has and sort of why do these things keep happening only in America?
Yeah. And then I'll just read one last tweet from Mike Pence from 1:22 today. While everyone is entitled to their own opinions, I don't think it's too much to ask NFL players to respect the flag and our national anthem. I don't think it's too much to ask the white nationalists to respect that all men and women are created equal and that what they're doing is disgusting and unacceptable and by no means what America should be aspiring to be. And that maybe they are the SOBs and maybe they should be fired from their jobs. And that is the latest on Charlottesville, Mike Pence. And to echo what Asha said, obviously our prayers, or mine too, are with those impacted by the gun violence that happened, the terrorist act that happened in Las Vegas last week. And we will talk about the gun debate in future shows. We will obviously continue to monitor that story as we still don't know why that man created the act of terror that he did and, you know, why he chose to do that act. And we will talk more about that in future weeks. With that, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with an update you know, we get personal about the news and the culture, and there's some news that happened to someone personally in the studio that we will get to share about. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break.
I freestyle. I style free. I kneel down, stand up against white supremacy. You see, I'm not down with that, and I frown on that, cause it's so sad they all clowns with that, holding up they tiki torches. They don't know that we out here and we fighting forces. We armed forces. Second Amendment. But you know, America, they need to amend it. The gun laws need to be controlled better. Is history repeats itself? Repeats itself. See, history repeats itself. Where's the wealth of knowledge getting? We ain't spitting. No lies, just truth. And you know that you can't. Okay, I'm done, guys. I'm out here.
Okay,
I'm out here rapping and tapping, spitting and skitting and
getting it.
And getting it.
Coming after Cameron.
Right. Nah, he's too good.
Nah, come on, man.
I love him.
Just keep practicing. You're going to go get him. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. That was Asha Davis doing her thing.
No, that was just freestyles, guys. Don't take that as my rap career. I'm not really a rapper.
No, but
we are standing up against white supremacy because that is not cool, honestly.
No, but one thing that you are, though, is a comic.
Yes. Right?
That is true. And I'm not just making that up.
So, anybody that knows me, I have like 8 people in here. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm super socially awkward. Just like super, like I can't even look people in the eye, honestly. So I'm just going to jump straight in and talk to you guys about my biggest fear in life. Like my biggest fear in life, human interaction. Just like interacting with humans is the most terrifying thing to me. And so I do many things in order to avoid human interaction. Like, for example, I live in an apartment in New York City. Sometimes I'm going to exit said apartment, and before I exit, I just sort of listen out through the door, and if I hear other people exiting their apartment at the same time or people in the hall, I just turn back around. I forgot something. I just got to over there. There's no one else home. I don't know why I'm pretending, but now I'm ready.
Who was that?
That was me doing stand-up this week.
Award-winning advertising executive, comedy writer, and paid comic.
Paid stand-up comic. I did get paid this week. I got paid on my first show. It's pretty cool.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, tell folks what that was from.
I did a live stand-up comedy performance at the Grizzly Pear in New York City in the West Village, just a few doors down from Comedy Cellar, which is one of the most famous comedy clubs in the world. Stand-up is something I've really wanted to do for a long time, and I finally got the courage to do it, and it was really awesome. Got such great reviews, and Mr. Gregory Neesmith was there to support, so thank you.
Up in the building, watching you do your thing. When is the next performance?
Sometime this week. I just can go to like pop into open mics. I'm trying to sort of refine my set and stuff, yeah.
Now, one thing I do want to ask you, were you cool, calm, and collected? Like, this was no big deal because you've given presentations at work, you're on the radio every week, so getting up in front of a crowd was like just light work for you?
No, obviously I felt like I wanted to puke for the whole time prior to when I got on stage. It's sort of like, you know, an entertainer, you know, you got butterflies, you're nervous, but when you get out on stage, like, the performer in you just comes out. It's like it's almost like an outer body experience. When I'm nervous until the moment, like the minute they're like, Asha Davis coming to the stage, then it all turns off.
I love it. And when will you actually start letting the underdogs out there know when they can like actually come watch you perform?
You know, once my set gets a little tighter and, you know, I have because right now I'm sort of that one was like a very cool opportunity, but I'm sort of popping in and out of open mics to continue to refine my set until I can get a situation where I'm actually being billed on a show, which takes a little while, you know.
Okay. And yeah, for anybody who's out there nervous about pursuing something they really, really want to do, what's a tip or two you would give them to help them get over the fear they might have? Because I'm going to assume you might have had a little bit of angst around doing this.
Oh, I had a lot of angst around doing this. I would say the best advice, honestly, is to just do it. Like, stop talking about it, stop thinking about it, and just be about it. Because this is something I've wanted to do for years. And all it really took was just doing it.
And taking a 2-week vacation.
Well, yeah, I wrote my set while I was on vacation, and I figured out how to write comedy while I was in LA, yeah.
I love it. So you took a reset,
yeah,
a break,
yeah,
to be with your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, got really connected to what you wanted to make happen, and then you were like, oh, I should just go do it.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, you know what, that's a good thought, because it's not about just do it. It's about, number one, prioritize yourself, prioritize your passions, and number two, make them happen.
Yeah, because if not, we get stuck, and so mm-hmm. you took the break so that you could restart your creativity.
Yeah.
And then you started living by doing it.
Exactly.
And I will say, I was impressed, because I remember you mentioning that you were going to start doing some stand-up, and then when I got that text, you were like, oh yeah, I'm doing some stand-up tonight. I'm like, whoa, she ain't wasting no time. Talk about just do it. Awesome stuff.
Thank you.
Cool. We look forward to it, and I can't wait to play some more clips going forward of your stand-up. And pretty soon you'll be doing some freestyle in there, too.
Oh,
It's time for the big finish to the show.
Oh, wow. It's that time already?
Time flew by. And I know you're going to attempt to come with an uninhibited question.
Are you going to let me?
Maybe. But I do want to shout out all the folks who went on today's journey with us on the show.
Yes. Thank you so much. So many Facebook comments. So many great callers. Like, definitely a testament to the topics for today's show.
Yeah, man, some heavy topics, some meaningful ones, and also shout out to all the folks on Facebook Live. And I will give one more special shout out to my hometown and the folks in Philly and Daryl Tillman for some of his comments at the end, too. All right. Uninhibited.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, my uninhibited question to you this week, we've been talking about Show Me the Money. And I want to know, have you ever had to compromise yourself in the name of money?
You know what? I feel like I've had some moments when I did. And I would say, when you ask that question at first, it doesn't feel like there's like a very obvious ones. But I remember doing some things in my corporate life that didn't always sit well with me. So I remember one time I was a manager and I was looking to build a team, and we had internal interviews. So we post up internal before we actually take them to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to interview maybe 8 candidates for this position. And I remember that my manager, in their own way, kind of insinuated that they kind of knew who they thought the pick should be. But yet it's up to me, right? But I kind of felt like they were signaling who they thought I should choose. And I remember I was also coming up on looking to get promoted. And it's still one of the decisions I regret to this day, is that of the 8, the person I ended up hiring for the role was the person that my manager wanted. And I actually thought that they were qualified for the job, but I don't think they were the best person. And I think in that moment, I did what I thought would not ruffle any feathers, also potentially keep me in the good graces of my manager to help me continue to further my career and get promoted. And so in a related way, I made a choice that I regret that I did for a promotion, also which leads to obviously continue to further my career, leads to more money and more compensation. And it's one of the things that I often look back and go, I wish I would have did things differently.
Was the person that you didn't give the job to, were any of them Black? Okay, well,
no,
that's good.
No, it was the two finalists for the job were 2 women, and I ended up going with the one that I think my manager wanted the most, even though I think the other woman would have with all things like pushed aside, I would have chose the other woman, and I didn't. So I regret that. So I often tell folks out there, do what you think is right or talk it out, because sometimes those things can still haunt you like years later.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's my answer to your uninhibited question.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, now you got me thinking back to that time. But I now know when those things come up again to do what I think is right, not what I think may, not to do what I think people may want.
Mm.
And with that, we come to the close of the show. Thank you to all the underdogs out there and to the, to my people and even some of those occasional Trump supporters who might have stopped in accidentally. We appreciate all of you. If you missed today's live show, the podcast is available on Monday and Wednesday on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher, all the places you love to listen to podcasts. And shout out to all the people who've been downloading it, because we are in the top 100 in society and culture category on Podomatic.
Oh, nice. And out that, of like thousands and thousands. Because right? It's not top 100 out of like 110. All right. Because I was like, eh. All right. We're good.
Yes. Yes. Out of thousands.
We're good.
It's a big deal. And so we appreciate you. And also, we'll be back next week to do what we do here. Monday, every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. live Sundays, podcast Mondays. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote.
Oh, here it goes.
Underdogs. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.
I think you should freestyle it out next time.
I should freestyle it out next time.